Brent, what do you think people should join this week?
I think people should join this OnlyFans that I just got into that is so hot. I think people should join our Patreon, patreon.com/youremakingitworse.
Instead of paying $8 for Twitter, you can join us.
That's right. Don't pay $8 for Twitter. Yeah. Pay $8 to listen to extra extra minutes of us talking.
Behind the scenes.
You do post videos.
I do post videos updating people on Elliot's relative level of him.
Yeah. And we have lots of things planned for like different things we're going to do and all kinds of like little things.
Absolutely. So, yeah, lots of fun little trinkets and things. So please feel free to join if you would like. Patreon.com/youremakingitworse.
Welcome to You're Making It Worse. I'm Elliot Glazer.
I'm Brent Sullivan.
And I'm H. Allen Scott.
We're here. We're queer.
Meh.
Textual healing.
Okay, so records. I don't know if you heard this. I don't know if you've been reading the BBC, which is Elliot, the only mainstream website that Elliot goes to on a weekly basis in researching this podcast. But records of armed forces personnel who were dismissed for being gay have been destroyed by the UK's Ministry of Defence, or the MOD. BBC reported. So the revelation comes after veterans who asked for documents relating to investigations into them by the military police were told that these records had been deleted in 2010. So it sounds like you in the UK could not serve openly, I believe, until 2000.
Yeah.
And so people who were dismissed wanted, like, I guess, proof of their dismissals or whatever.
Or retribution for benefits, right, or all right. kinds of things they could get for their service.
Blah, blah, blah. No, I agree. And anyway, so all those records have been deleted. So it's there was one particular, Jean MacDonald, who was dismissed as a Lance Corporal in the Women's Royal Army Corps in 1981 for being gay, was among those requesting her data from the MOD. And she said, basically, you know, quote, all of a sudden you've lost your whole career. You've lost your friends. You've lost your accommodation, you know, your whole way of life. It's just
that's really terrible and really upsetting. I mean.
And it's wild coming from a country that
that
prides itself on maintaining history. You know what I mean? Maintaining even bad records down to like, I forget the code, but there was some British code that you would get if like that was against homosexuality and that would like get you arrested and get you. And those records are still available.
It was like the code was EWG. You're EWG.
Elliot Wexler Glazer.
I think that's what it was.
No,
it's crazy. On Reddit, every couple months, someone will post something that's like basically a log of all of like the plague deaths in London in like 1349.
Yeah. Like, but they're not keeping these. And this in particular, I think is something that we're also dealing with in this country, in that there are so many instances, not just of people who served in the, you know, armed services, but also just like people who were in a relationship. They were paying taxes separately, of course, because you couldn't pay taxes together, but where they never got their spouse's social security when that spouse passed. So that person who's in their 70s has to go get a fucking job somewhere because they can't get the benefits from their spouses, like a straight couple. And there are so many instances in which queer people have been denied benefits that straight people have, that take for granted, really.
Yeah.
And now it takes that group of people, those queer people, and puts them into poverty, quite literally.
Also erases them. Actual erasure. Is there a reason that, like, what has the government said there? Or the armed forces, have they responded to it?
No, I don't remember. That's not part of the article that I copied and pasted into our document. I don't recall.
No, it is wild though. It is wild. And I mean, I think it would be interesting to see what the US government has in the database of queer people who have served and then they were dismissed. Are their records still upstanding?
Oh, God,
where, like, you know, we don't, there's probably a lot of this, more of this than we probably know of. And you know, it takes great queer people who are looking into this to be like, yo, well then you need to do something for me. You erased my record and I was definitely served you. So like
maybe that's what's at Area 51, like all of the gay records.
Oh my God. You wrote Iceland doesn't allow gays in their military. Oh.
All right. So I did a little bit of research because I wanted to do a little deep dive on gays serving the military. Obviously, Don't Ask, Don't Tell was overturned in the United States in 2010, I believe.
The year the UK decided to delete them all.
That's right. That's a good point.
Wow.
Maybe there's a connection there. Anyway,
conspiracy.
Conspiracy, right. Anyway, I thought I would do like a dive into, you know, find a nice Wikipedia graphic as to what countries allow gays in the military. And there was basically no surprises. It was the United States, Canada, all of Western Europe, most of South America, Australia, and South Africa. And that was it. But I did find out that Iceland, so at one point they were like, Iceland does not allow gays in the military. And I was like, that is a fucking curveball because Iceland is so liberal. And then I looked a
little
deeper. Are
they socially liberal?
And it's because they don't have a military.
Wait, so was that your joke or?
Wait, what?
Was that a joke that or did you look it up and it said such?
No, it's
literally
true.
Yeah.
No, they literally, Iceland literally does not have a military.
Is it because they're like neutral and all? Like, is that?
I guess. I assume.
Or Switzerland. I don't know.
I don't know much about it, but that was just what I read on like the asterisk on the chart was like they don't allow gays in the military.
I mean, I'm of course I'm very much for universal healthcare, but and one of the things that I love is whenever proponents of universal healthcare, liberals talk about the need for it in the United States, they're like, here are the countries that allow it. Iceland, Greenland, Sweden. And I'm like,
right.
You mean like 98% white countries that have a population that is the size of possibly New Jersey. Like,
yeah, right. Not always the strongest argument.
Yeah. It's sometimes I'm like, you need to really listen to what you're saying.
Yeah, I think 300,000 people live in Iceland.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of people.
No, it isn't.
It's the size of Pittsburgh.
It's the size of downtown Los Angeles. Yeah. Mm. Yes. It's like, it's kind of harder than that. It's probably more than that. Well, like, it's wild.
It definitely sounds like Elliot has not been fucked in Iceland. Is that correct, Elliot?
No. I really want to go to Iceland.
Do you?
Yeah.
You know it's like not really ice. It's just green.
That's right.
Yeah. No, I know, but I want to go to like the lagoons. I mean, at this point, I feel like it's so basic. Everybody takes a picture in the lagoon.
Yeah.
But God, I want to go.
Wait, yeah. The lagoon? What's the?
No, like the hot. You mean like
the hot springs or whatever?
Isn't that in Greenland?
Right. No, Iceland.
Iceland has
Reykjavik.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And you want to eat like that fermented whale meat that's around?
No, thank you.
I know this. We probably have like one listener in Iceland who's like, "Oh, you."
I have no like. To me, I look at trips like that to like any of the places that are, you know, like small towns or whatever. I have no interest at all. It seems like I would be miserable going. No offense. I mean, Iceland probably seems wonderful, but like. Ooh, seems so boring. I'd be there a day and I'd be like, can we get out of here?
Oh, I think it was so fun.
Wouldn't you be bored? Well,
I guess we'll be recording next week when Elliot's in Iceland.
Not yet. Next year.
Not even joking.
We are here today with a co-host from the Sexy Unique podcast, Carrie O'Donnell. Hello.
Hey, Carrie.
Hi, guys.
Do you feel sexy? Do you feel unique?
I feel neither. I feel kind of pulverized by the daylight savings.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Are you bothered by it? Because I love it.
I kind of feel like LA is always in daylight savings.
Yeah. Oh, really? I feel like, why is that?
I don't know. I feel like the energy is very daylight savings in LA.
Sure. So,
I think it's very.
But today was the good one because we got an extra hour.
Yeah, we got an extra hour.
Yeah.
But then you're like, 2 hours ago it was 3 o'clock, you know?
Right.
So it's like...
Right.
Yeah, but I kind of love when it gets like, because I'm, you know, I'm a low light person, not like what I am now, but I'm a low light person. I love when it gets dark.
You're a low life person too.
I'm a low life. I'm a low life. Yes. Yeah. But I love the darkness. So when I was driving back home from doing something earlier and it was like, what, like 5 o'clock or something? And I was like, oh, it's already dark. How quiet.
Did it already get dark? Did it already get dark by 5?
It was starting to get dark.
It was, yeah. It was, it's kind of, it's like Siberia.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, no, Brent, haven't you gone to a place? Have any of you guys ever gone to one of those places or countries where the sun doesn't set until super late?
Yeah, yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
this summer when I was in London and Paris, I would be at we were at the Eiffel Tower, and it was like 9 o'clock at night, and it was fucking sunny as all.
Oh, that's weird.
It was like, that's gotta be bizarre, right?
It was very bizarre. It was very
like Midsommar.
Yeah,
it's very much like Midsommar. I would say this: Michigan is sort of on the western part of the eastern time zone, so I do remember as a kid occasionally going to bed, like when you still had a bedtime.
Yes, I do too. I remember that.
And like it was still sunny out, which was really painful. Like there's no worse way for a child to go to bed than when it's still light out and you can like hear the other kids playing.
You feel like you're in trouble.
Yeah.
I had that when I was, I distinctly remember a memory of when I was like, I went to bed at like 9 o'clock and my stepmom sent me to bed and I was like, it's still fucking sunny.
Yeah. The day isn't over yet. No. She can't go to bed.
Bitch.
So rude.
So rude. Fuck her. She's dead. But
well, let's talk about, tell us about RIP. Sexy Unique Podcast.
Yeah.
I host it with Laura Marie Shainhalls,
who's a comedian. Her.
Yeah, she's so funny. She started it, and then when I moved to LA, I was a guest host one day, and then so she kind of, I kind of wormed my way into being a full time co-host.
So Sexy Unique Podcast that correlates to Lisa Vanderpump's restaurant, right? Sexy Unique Restaurant.
Laura started it as like a Vanderpump kind of dissection podcast
The show or of Lisa Vanderpump herself?
Just everything, everything Vanderpump rules. Yeah. And then when we started branching off and doing other like Housewives recaps, and then sometimes we'll do old like vintage reality shows like Gallery Girls or
Kel on Earth.
No, people have asked us to do that, and I think that's one of the great lost shows.
Yeah,
Brent is. I mean, I love Kel on Earth.
Elliot got me hooked on it this year, and I'm not a huge fan of reality TV. Right. And Kel on Earth is a reality show from like 2009 about a woman who runs a PR agency within the fashion industry. And it's
what was the company called?
People's Revolution.
And it's just so mundane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of a lot of Project Runway, which is one of the only reality shows I did enjoy. You know, obviously it reminds me of my time when I lived in New York. I worked in Soho for a while.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's so definitely like a certain things that,
it's a certain
New York.
Yeah. I pounded it three times though. I can't stop watching. I'm obsessed with how boring it is.
Yeah.
And like even like the funny people are so boring. It's surreal.
And you can feel the exhaustion like when you look under their eye. Like they're all so sleep deprived and they're all like Stephanie Voorhees. It's a bunch of people on The Verge. And then there's like a random 6'5" queer guy named Andrew who wears wears tartans
and talks like this.
Is it though about, there is something about, because I mean, I can do that too with the Housewives. I'm a huge Housewives person.
Yeah.
And I can like go back. We quote it nonstop. I can go back and watch an episode I've seen probably 100 times. There's one moment recently we've been quoting nonstop where we just point to our glasses and go, $25,000.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and it's something that like only people who get the Housewives will laugh hysterically at that because they know that moment. What is it about that we can watch these moments so many times?
I don't know. And I think I feel like the thing with our podcast is like, I don't watch all the Bravo shows, like, and I think there's like a whole Bravo universe, which like I respect, and like
My God, like BravoCon, I can't believe that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean that, you know, it looked, if you had fun there, like good, but some of it kind of looked like the insurrection. Like,
it was very, like, very scary. Yeah. Very scary looking.
Yeah, so I think the thing, I feel like I don't get like fully into the show where I'm like, I can't separate that, like, this is a trash show,
right.
You know? And I think, but I love it and I respect it. And
what are your shows that you're talking like that you obsess on Bravo?
Well, I love Salt Lake City. We're recapping that right now. Right. I mean, that is just like, that has the Mormon element. I think it's actually like a, it's more of a, it's a diverse, more of a diverse show than people would think with Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
And you have Jen Shah, who's like going to be sentenced to potentially like a 25 to 50 year sentence.
Oh my God.
You know, so it has whole, like
while,
all these.
While you know that in the, on the show, she keeps saying she's innocent because on the timeline of the show, yeah, they did such a good job this year of being like, she was, you know, found guilty like at this point or whatever. But for the filming of the show, it's all before she was found guilty. So, or before she pled guilty.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
It's great. I mean, she, and like, she's so forthright and has such conviction that like you're at certain points like, yeah, she shouldn't go to jail.
Yeah,
you know, she's so
she's like, also just
I don't want anyone
maybe,
to
maybe
go to
there'll
jail.
Be an maybe there'll be an insurrection at a Salt Lake City prison to get
I kind of honestly I'm at a point where I'm like, just let her go, even if she did it. You know, I don't. Jen Shah does not need. No one needs to be in prison. You know what I mean?
Teresa
like,
did.
Teresa served her time.
Yeah.
How many housewives have gone to jail? Do we know?
Oh well, to
Teresa's
prison.
The only one. Yeah,
she's gone to prison, but many have gone to a jail because they've been arrested.
Sure,
for various
right.
things.
For something. Yeah. Something fairly mild.
But only right, one's been right. to prison. Yeah. In my that I can think
one
of.
Has officially been to prison.
Who, Teresa?
Teresa served hard time.
I hate
Luann. Luann was in jail for a while. Countess Luann. I think Sonia, like while not on the show, but she's been arrested. So like, there's been a few
bad moments. Yeah. Tinsley was arrested.
That's right, Tinsley.
Elliot, go ahead. What were you gonna say?
No, I hate. Like I don't. I gave up on New York. I used to watch Housewives of New York, and I mean honestly, to echo what you guys were saying about Kel on Earth, my favorite reality shows took place at like workplaces, and it was like in all before 2011, before people knew how to like perform on reality shows. Yeah. Like I just love that era, but I don't. I do. Sometimes I would go in and out of New Jersey because it reminded me of home.
Yeah.
And Teresa, the edit with Teresa was like, they like basically edited it so that we were supposed to feel sorry for her or that there was some like as if it was as if there was some sort of injustice at play.
Well, there was like, a way. There wasn't a way in that she was kind of what a lot of women, and if she would have recognized this, I think it probably would have been even a better storyline. But a lot of women who went to prison for the
crimes of their husbands.
Their husbands did. And she, even though she was very much guilty in many situations, she also was guilty of just being a dumb housewife who
she defied. Was guilty of following her heart, Alan.
Following the money.
She followed the money because she just didn't ask questions. Well, she probably should have asked some questions.
Yeah, she's disgusting. Think she was just my favorite was the People magazine photo shoot of her in prison with all her it had this, the quality of the photos, it looked like photos that were taken on like Cape Cod in the 70s.
And
I think it was like a nice prison.
Yeah.
So she was wearing like Sperry's and like, it kind of looked like a women's retreat and her and all her you know, friends were in prison, were all doing like the sorority shoulder pop in one photo. And I was just like, this is
how does that work? Is it just that there are very few women's prisons that are actually that hardcore and lockdown? Or is it just that because it was a white collar crime, she went to a sort of a cushier.
She was with criminals who did some criminal things, like hardcore things.
Oh, don't call them that, you son of a bitch.
I mean, but she was. But that said, there are like, because she wasn't at the one that Martha Stewart went to, was she? I forget.
The like Orange is the New Black prison?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I don't think she was at that one.
She was at a more, but she was at a legitimate prison. But there are levels sort of based on that you're, I guess.
Yeah, security levels, right.
Out. I don't know how that works. I don't know how
The reason I bring it up is because every time a famous person gets in trouble for anything, like you always hear that story where whether it's true or not, they're always like, oh, they're at basically a day camp
prison
where, you know, they can roam the grounds all day or whatever.
My favorite time from that era, which is a great time in reality television, but my favorite moment was Wendy Williams. Every single morning, she would be like, "Hey, Teresa. Hey, ladies. How you doing? I know you watch." And it was just such a great moment in talk show TV where she would acknowledge that she has not only a very large prison base, but also she would talk to these people who were in prison.
So, oh my God,
she was the best.
She really.
Howard Stern is obsessed with the Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Really?
He's obsessed, and it's just so funny because he's like. He says he's obsessed because he can't believe how vomitous. He calls them all vomits.
Yeah,
and,
vomits.
And I wonder. I don't watch. I basically gave up on New York most recently. But
where are you from originally?
New York. That's okay, why I'm from Long Island.
So. I'm from Jersey, so I get it.
Oh yeah, so you get it. So you watch the Jersey Housewives, and they're like Costco, and like
yeah.
They're everything. Well, I mean, everything on New Jersey was like my family, food. Yeah.
It was
family,
supposed to be
family,
that from the beginning. It was like a family-oriented branch of the show.
Yeah, it's the mafia. I mean, that's the whole point of it. Is like, I mean, remember the promo was like them on the boardwalk. Yep. It looked like The Sopranos. It was
I know.
Dark, but I love that early era. But I wonder, just out of curiosity, if you have a I was saying how Howard Stern calls, he watches Beverly Hills religiously, but calls them all vomits. Yeah. and I wonder if even in a tongue-in-cheek way, if you have a favorite housewife.
Oh, good question.
It's also hard to say favorite because
no.
The podcast is wide. Yeah.
There's so many. I mean, I think as infuriating as she is, Bethany is my all time.
Yeah,
like, Bethany's pretty think good. She's my problematic fave, and yeah. She's I worry for her, and I just but I think she really was the ultimate housewife.
I have that with Lisa Rinna.
Lisa Rinna's. Give her, say what you will, but she provides.
She provides. I know. I was just talking about that today, how like I support her not being on the show, but I also desperately do not want her to not be
on the show. No. I think on like a, I can't look away. Like it's so,
yeah.
I think Kim Richards was my dark horse favorite because she just had that like, the Richards sisters, including Kathy Hilton, just have that like Hollywood, like very their much. Mom. Their mom
the
really
domino
pushed
effect.
Them.
You can give it to everybody.
Yeah, they're sort of the epicenter of like new celebrity.
Yeah,
in a weird way.
I'm working on a show now that's at the Paramount lot, and Kyle Richards was there, and a few of my coworkers were like, "Oh, Kyle Richards was like just drinking coffee," and they like talked to her, and she was literally like. Literally, she was like, "Put me on your show. I want to be on iCarly. Put me on your show," like, but in a nice way, in a friendly way. So it was nice to hear that she's not a monster.
Mm-hmm. She seems cool, and she's honestly, she was the best part of the Halloween the new Halloween franchise.
Yeah. Halloween franchise? Oh, she was in it.
Yeah,
she's
in the, well, because she was in the original.
Oh,
wow. Is the kid? She's a kid actress. Both she's her. A, that's the origin
the
of both
babysitting.
Of them.
Yeah,
they both were child actors, and Kim was a more famous child actor because she was in all the Disney things. And then Kyle was sort of still just a very working child actor. And that was her start was on Halloween. She was the girl that the neighbor was babysitting. And when, you know, on Halloween.
Yeah. I was going to say like if I had to choose, I mean, my breath it's much smaller, but I mean, there is nothing to me, there is nothing more odd than trying to figure out what Kelly Bensimon is.
Oh my God, her running in the street. I literally posted that yesterday. Her running in the streets of New York with a literal cab driving behind her as she's running.
But she's fascinating to watch. And she's the most fascinating type of reality TV because she's performing, she's acting, but she's not acting. She would insist that she's like a down-home, like relatable girl, but then also that she's like a high-end
fashion model,
fashion model and academic,
Columbia grad,
and her kids are remarkably unattractive, and
oh, don't say that.
They were just
little children.
Don't bring the kids into this.
Yeah, don't bring the kids into it. They were just little kids. Come on.
I just for a model. That's for a model's kids.
No,
I
was like, no, they're fine. Well, kids.
And I think she and Bethany, their dynamic was so like, it was so fascinating to watch. Yeah, because Bethany was we were all Bethany, just being like, what are you?
What's wrong with you? Like, how does your brain work? She's very Trumpy. She's like an idiot who just says things over and over, but you're like, your grammar doesn't make sense, but you're insisting that certain things are true, but we're watching what's happening, and you're not that.
Wait,
it was just bizarre.
I need to ask something because I feel like this is getting a little inside baseball for everyone who is not outside.
Sorry. And Brent. Brent.
So I need to ask.
Please.
Because so much of the podcast is the recap of Housewives stuff.
Yeah.
What would you say for someone who isn't a viewer of Housewives? What would you say A is the city for people to get into to understand the Housewives franchise in general? And B, for the podcast, how do you like explain the obsession with Housewives to people who don't watch it?
Those are good questions.
I'm a journalist, Carrie.
You are, Alan. I would say probably the first few seasons of Atlanta and New York, I think, are the essential.
Mm-hmm. So you like early, like messy. Yeah.
And Orange County.
Like the earlier the better. I mean, that's my feeling. I like it awkward and bad lighting, ugly makeup, shitty clothes.
Before they were figuring it out, I think the camera work, it was all like they were all trying to figure out like how to make it. And then I think those are the best to have like a handle on it. And then season one of Beverly Hills, I think, is like a no-brainer. Like, I think anyone would be into it because it's
just to watch Camille's dance stuff. That's all. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think with our pod, because we actually have a lot of listeners, a good amount of our listeners don't watch what we're recapping.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, really?
They just listen because Laura and I, like, you know, we're good. She's like one of my best friends. And we like, even when we're not podding, like, we'll just go on like tangents together. Do like bits, you know? And so it kind of feels like we're doing like little improv-ing. And I think people are kind of like that. It's sort of like dinner theater or like radio theater. But like, you know, like my friend Karen Kilgariff, who does My Favorite Murder,
we love
her. She's like the funniest person. Yeah, she's like the funniest person I've ever met, but she listens to us and she's like, I've never watched a single thing of what you say, but I listen. And I think that's we try to make it so it's like everyone can listen. Yeah, and it's just two friends.
That's
like
great. People just want to hang with you. I mean, I think we've gotten the same thing on this show where we've had some guestless episodes and people seem to just want to hear, want to hang with friends.
I do want to ask you, Carrie, because I know you're really good at Twitter. Like,
very funny.
Do you have a particular take on Elon Musk taking control?
I mean, he's the worst, but I'm like, I get why people are leaving, but it's, to me, it's so funny to see, like, I think it's camp when the people are posting these like long, very maudlin goodbyes to Twitter. And like,
oh my God,
I just think as someone who just likes to watch crazy shit, like I just love it because it's, and I'm probably gonna hang on till the bitter end.
Will you pay $8 to keep your verification? Are you verified?
No, I won't do that. I mean I have from when I worked in media, I got verified, but like I'm not gonna pay to be on Twitter. Like that is absurd. Like obviously bullshit and like disgusting, but like
there is something to it that is, I think, is interesting in that, because there is a need, and we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, a need for like, you know, valuable information to be sort of like credible and to have some sort of source of saying this person is a credible source of news information or of government information or whatever. And I think the thing that Elon's doing with like that part of it is actually interesting, because the people who are going to be verified are like have official titles underneath it that say they're a public official or something that gives some sort of, it's an interesting process.
Some credence.
Oh. Yeah, I think it'll be, that part will be interesting. But for someone like us, who's just like, you know, kind of just like funny losers just say funny things and watch. Like, no one needs to know my official opinion on anything.
Right.
No, and I also think, aren't they allowing like anyone to have be verified too?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the plan. So that's out yet, but yeah.
I mean, yeah, like I, no one's coming to me for like government.
Yeah, right. Government takes. I love that.
I do think that there are, I do feel like there are some tweeters that I'm like, they're a government operative.
Yeah. Oh, really?
For the Russian government? Yes.
Or sure. Just, I don't know, like, or like some kind of PSYOP or like, I,
yeah,
like,
all
I,
the time. Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's, I mean, it's crazy. It's weird. It's sad.
Yeah, we certainly live in surreal times.
We do.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having
people,
me on.
Where can people find you on the internet? Where can people find your podcast?
You can follow me at eCarrieO while you can. And Sexy Unique Podcast. We have two shows coming up in January at the Dynasty Typewriter.
In Los Angeles. In
Los Angeles. So if you're in the area, come on, see us.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for being here.
And good to see you, Alan.
And another thing.
All right. So we, for our and another thing this week, we were going to talk about Elliot, as always, comes up with almost all of our topics and does an amazing job, and we love him dearly. This week, he came up with, quote, how loyal are you to prophylactics? We have ultimately decided not to do this, not to discuss this. Because Elliot turned red. But I did want to read the one joke that I wrote, which I was going to read while we were discussing this, which is, quote, the only thing Elliot's conservative about is his use of rubbers. That is the only thing he's conservative about. So there we go. But Alan, you want to talk about the lottery. So let's start.
It's interesting because right now, when this goes out, maybe someone who have won the Powerball, which at this time I think is at 1.6 billion or something. I don't know. So maybe there'll be a winner by the time this episode goes out. We're recording a little bit in advance.
Yeah, probably.
But do you guys play the lotto at all when it gets that big? Do you ever play the lotto? Like, how does
I did it on the lotto? Once. I did it once a couple months ago when it was like around a billion again.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I guess I'll buy one. But like, it makes me so mad because you get wrapped up in, I can't help it. This is why it's like so immoral. I can't help but think I'm gonna win.
Well,
that's
yeah,
what
that's
everyone thinks. You get in line, you buy this ticket, and you know, I remember waiting. It was like a Friday night. I waited like until 9 o'clock and I was like, oh my God, it's 9:05. I have to go check.
Yeah.
And I literally was like, what am I gonna do with the money? And then I check. I didn't even have one number that was within four numbers of one of the numbers.
Yeah.
And it just made me mad that I was like, why, how did I get duped into this shit?
Wait, but this was for what lottery?
I think it was for Powerball.
Yeah.
It's
Powerball that has those big
ones. I think Powerball is the big one. The billion is the big one. Yeah.
The lottery is just set up to, I mean, it's just for you have to be pretty naive to play, I think. I don't know. I mean, naive to think that you have a chance of winning.
Well, no. Okay, here's my take. And this is also Gail King's take. So I will. Oh, because she was talking about it on CBS Mornings this week. But to me, I think, and my mom is big into the lotto. And I think for a lot of people like my mom, there's very few opportunities, I think, in our lives right now where you have something that allows you to dream a little bit. That allows you to be escapist and be sort of like, to take you away from your reality of having to go to work on Monday and all these things. And that small moment where you get to like imagine what it would be like to win or what you would do or the kind of things you would do for other people or yourself or whatever it is. And it's fun to dream. And
that's worth $2 for you. I get that.
That's
worth
$2.
I get it.
Of course, if you take it in a crazy way and you go, you know, down the path of like, buying 100 tickets and like doing and wasting your money in that way, but to spend $2 to have like a nice therapeutic sort of fantasy moment of what would happen, I think is very healthy, especially for people who are working class, who you know, never would think about achieving that level of wealth in this world.
And I just don't like it, but I don't want anybody to get duped. And it's so, if you get addicted to it, it's so easy to get duped. Yeah.
The money goes to education, Elliot.
It does?
Yeah, it does.
At least there's lotteries, like the usually, money goes to...
It's different for each state, I think, but a lot of times it goes to like education programs, or it goes to lots of different things.
Yeah. I mean, every lottery ticket you haven't bought is a missing piece of chalk in the classroom, Elliot.
Oh, okay. Did not realize that.
That's I forget if true. We ever talked about, I was obsessed. Yeah, that's not true. I was obsessed. I read this article years ago in like the Philadelphia Inquirer or something.
Yeah.
About a statistician at Stanford who figured out how Texas disseminated their scratch-off lottery tickets. Yes. They made a movie about this.
There is on Paramount with Bryan Cranston, but that wasn't the guy in Texas, I don't think, but I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, someone wrote an article where she refused to be quoted because she was still pursuing it, but she discovered that you could go to certain areas on certain days, because they had to announce when winners came, and she figured out that winners were evenly dispersed throughout a promotion or a particular scratch-off promotion or game or something. So you could go to a certain corner of the state and buy hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of dollars in lottery tickets, and she ended up winning $7 million in total, and she had three huge wins that were all of $1 million.
Wow.
And then obviously other smaller wins. But she obviously had the resources to like travel somewhere, buy $50,000 in tickets and be okay if she was wrong or whatever.
What would you do? What would you do if you won?
I would fund my nonprofit that is about destroying social media. So I would do that. I would give money to the Democrats. Mm-hmm. I've had this thought. I would give if I made it a ridiculous amount of money, I would give all of my friends like $100,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would you do, Elliot?
I would take all my friends on a trip.
Yeah.
No.
I would buy a home.
You still have to work though, you know.
True.
Yeah, right. I'd take that check for $100,000.
Even
but all
I
right.
got, even if I won all that money, I would not stop working. I mean, I like work, but I would want to take people on a trip. I'd want to buy a reasonable home, and I think I would donate to nice charities. And
I think if I made $1 billion, I would create my own charity and I would make that my job. Micro loans, micro financing is kind of interesting, giving people small amounts of money to help.
Totally.
Yeah, what that's would you really do,
Alan? Oh, I would fully take care of myself and like take care of all my debts and all the things. And I would make sure I have a house. Like I would set it up for that. I'm fully taken care of. But then I would probably I'd probably want to buy cool shit. Like I would, I'm going to be honest. Like I want to give money to family and make sure everyone's taken care of, all of those things that are happy and stuff. But I also want like cool shit. And I love the idea as a creative person to not having to be dependent on anybody else for money so that I can just do whatever the fuck I want to do and buy as many wigs as I want to buy and buy as much makeup as I want to buy. And like literally, all those moments where I second guess, I don't want to spend $40.
Wait, I
want to buy it all. I want to buy it all.
I love how we're talking about you win $1 billion and you're like, I want to buy more wigs. It's like,
I do.
You can buy wigs.
No, yes, I can buy wigs, but I have,
wig money.
I can't buy as many as I want or all the things that I want. So like, I want to be able to buy a warehouse that then I can put all of these like excess wigs that I buy in it and just have a space where it's just like, I can walk through all my wigs.
But then again, that doesn't sound very environmentally sustainable.
Listen, I'm a liberal, but I don't. The environment's one thing I can't worry that much about. I'm exhausted.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
What would your aunt say? Brent, what would your aunt Ramona say about something she heard on today's show?
I wish you would discuss the prophylactics, because I want to hear your stance on dental dams. Elliot, have you ever used a dental dam?
No, have you?
No.
But has anybody?
I feel like you're the kind of person that
I never
would.
No, I wouldn't. Nope, I don't think a single soul has used a dental dam.
I feel like they look like those absurd things that they wrap like egg rolls in sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like wax paper.
That weird gummy paper, yeah.
Yeah. My aunt Joanne would probably at this point bow out of the conversation.
Oh, okay.
Not because she's prude,
but because she's bored.
Yeah, there you go.
How about Aunt Anne?
My Aunt Anne would say, "I'll tell you, if I win the lottery, I'm divorcing your uncle."
Oh, love that. Love that.
Even though she loves him.
She doesn't need love if you got money.
You got $1 billion. True. You don't need love, honey.
You can buy love.
Oh, honey. Well, guys, join. I keep fucking forgetting and bringing up last minute when no one is listening. But join our Patreon, patreon.com/youremakingitworse. I'm Elliot Wexler Glazer. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye, Dental Dams.